For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. A federal judge in Charlottesville will decide whether Heather Heyer's killer should get life in prison. A Timberville police officer shoots a man to death who officers say attacked them with a sword. And we look at new treatments being developed by researchers at VCU to address opioid addiction. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, June 28th. Federal judge in Charlottesville will decide Friday whether James Alex Fields Jr. should get life in prison. Fields was convicted for killing Heather Heyer and injuring dozens of others in August 2017. Fields deliberately drove his car into a crowd that had gathered downtown to demonstrate against a white supremacist rally. In March, Fields pleaded guilty to 29 out of 30 federal hate crimes in a plea deal with prosecutors that took a possible death sentence off the table. As part of that agreement, both prosecutors and Fields' lawyers agreed that federal sentencing guidelines call for a life sentence. But last week, Fields' lawyers asked U.S. District Judge Michael Urbanski to consider sentencing Fields to a period less than life, even if Urbanski were to hand down a shorter sentence. Fields has almost no hope of ever getting out of prison. Fields will still face sentencing for convictions under state law. A former student at the University of Virginia has sued the school for unfair treatment and to halt an upcoming hearing. The male student, identified in court papers as John Doe, filed a federal lawsuit Tuesday against UVA's Board of Visitors, President Jim Ryan, and two Title IX officials. He said his constitutional rights were violated during the university's investigation of a sexual assault allegation. Doe met a woman identified as Jane Roe in 2017. According to Roe, she did not consent to the sexual encounter in her apartment. Her accusation triggered a Title IX investigation. A 2018 draft of the report did not find the student responsible for a Title IX violation. The university received the final report at the end of the spring 2019 semester and decided to suspend the student and withhold his degree. The student's lawyer said that their client did not have an opportunity to review or respond to the final report, and that the university improperly followed its own Title IX policy. UVA argues that the lawsuit is not necessary since the university has not yet concluded the Title IX process. The Title IX review panel hearing is scheduled for Monday. Virginia regulators are warning of big electric bill increases for customers of the state's largest utility. The State Corporation Commission gave final approval Thursday to Dominion Energy's roadmap for future capital investments, including power stations and grid upgrades. The commission said Dominion's plan met the minimum requirements under state law, but may significantly understate future customer costs. Commission staff calculated that the monthly bills for an average residential customer could rise by $18 per month in 2023. Critics say costs to consumers will be much higher, closer to $30 per month. A law passed last year makes it easier for Dominion to spend excess earnings on capital projects rather than give refunds to customers. Dominion said the law will help spur investments in renewable energy. Officials in Timberville say a police officer shot and killed a man who wielded a sword and tried to attack them. Police say they responded to a domestic situation at a home on Wednesday night. Investigators say 50-year-old Michael S. Norquist had barricaded himself inside the home and reportedly attacked an officer with a sword when the officer entered. The officer shot Norquist, who died on the scene. The officer was flown to the University of Virginia Medical Center in Charlottesville, where he was treated for serious injuries and released. The Virginia State Police Bureau of Criminal Investigations Culpeper Field Office is investigating the shooting. Virginians who hold their cell phones while driving through highway construction zones will face a $250 fine starting on Monday. That's July 1st. But emergency medics and other critics of legislation passed this year say the new law is impossible to enforce. They'd like to see a blanket ban on holding a cell phone while driving. According to the Department of Motor Vehicles, at least 126 people died in Virginia last year due to distracted driving. A vote in the Senate is expected Friday on an amendment to the military authorization bill that would prohibit President Trump from engaging in war with Iran without the approval of Congress. Charles Fishburn from our partner station WCVE reports.
Virginia Democratic Senator Tim Kaine says President Trump brought us to within 10 minutes of war with Iran, which he says would be a colossal mistake.
I am the author of a bipartisan amendment that would state what should be a very simple proposition, that the president cannot go to war against Iran except in self-defense without first coming to Congress and seeking authorization.
He says Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has agreed to bring his amendment to a vote.
And we will see whether people stand up for the constitutional proposition that it's Congress that declares war and we don't go to war just based on the whim of this or any president.
Senator Kaine has fought for it before, but he believes the Iranian crisis now gives it a better chance of passage. Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
Governor Ralph Northam is asking the GOP-controlled legislature to consider a package of gun control bills when they meet on July 9th, but powerful committees control the fate of the governor's proposals. WCVE's Ben Pavier reports.
For over a decade, Republican-led committees have rejected gun control bills proposed by Democrats. That means the full legislature never votes on most bills. Democrats think some Republicans would cross the aisle on some bills if they had a vote. Here's Northam at a press conference earlier this month.
Business as usual, with leadership shielding most of their members from taking tough votes by setting early morning hearings before small subcommittees, won't cut it.
Parker Slaybaugh, spokesman for Republican Speaker of the House Kirk Cox, said in a statement that Northam was asking Republicans to, quote, skip the legislative process. And Slaybaugh questioned whether Northam would just veto GOP bills that did reach his desk. It's still not clear exactly what bills will come up in the special session, since no lawmaker has filed any yet.
This is Ben Pavier from partner station WCVE reporting. Rural broadband may be coming to a farm near you thanks to new money from the United States Department of Agriculture, Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Speaking on the floor of the House of Representatives, Congresswoman Abigail Spanberger explained the need for rural broadband by telling the story of one of her constituents from Amelia County. She works on her family's beef and cattle farm.
She says, when the internet is down, I can't do simple things like process payments, send liability payments, or check the radar for the guys out in the fields.
That's one of the reasons why she pushed for an additional $55 million to expand Reconnect grants to rural communities. That's a 10% increase over the current program. Here in Virginia, that money could go to Powhatan County or Culpeper County, both places that have applied for millions of dollars. John Provo is Director of Economic Development at Virginia Tech.
I don't know anyone in economic development right now who doesn't consider broadband to be fundamental infrastructure. It's just like electricity was in another era.
One in four rural Virginians lacks high-speed internet access. That's according to a recent report from the Federal Communications Commission. I'm Michael Pope.
Finally today, fentanyl is a deadly part of the opioid crisis. The synthetic drug can be up to 100 times more potent than morphine. Now, researchers at Virginia Commonwealth University have tested a promising vaccine, and they've developed a method to test other new treatments. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain reports.
When Matthew Banks was in graduate school, he loved to run. Not just in the moment, but the way it made him feel after. The runner's high.
And that was fascinating to me, that something like exercise could produce that high. And so in pharmacy school, we learned that drugs can work in the brain to produce a similar high.
A high so strong, it can hijack our brains. Combined with his pharmacy background, he launched on a research path. How can scientists in a lab evaluate new treatments for substance use disorder?
Substance use is a really complex mental health disorder, and so we were interested in pulling down specific aspects of that into our laboratory.
The process they developed wound up being pretty straightforward. They start by giving rats the drug. The rats become hooked, and given the option between the drug and food, they consistently choose the drug. That's the baseline. Then the scientists introduced the treatment, which in this case was a new vaccine for fentanyl.
So what we saw was a rat that was vulnerable to taking fentanyl under normal conditions. When we administered the fentanyl vaccine, the rats almost completely stopped taking fentanyl and took almost exclusively food.
In other words, it worked. The vaccine blunted the effects of the high, opening up space in the brain for other thoughts, like, for the rats, I should feed myself. But in humans, maybe that's, I should go to work, or I should spend time with my kids.
You have now given these food or job or family opportunities to compete with the drug of abuse. And then once they start competing effectively, then you're on that positive path.
The result is not all that different from other medically assisted treatments on the market. But according to the National Safety Council, more people in the U.S. die from drug overdoses than car accidents. And Jerry Muller, a physician and researcher at VCU, says any additional treatment is a good thing.
Because we need every option we can possibly get to treat this epidemic because it's killing so many Americans.
If the vaccine is eventually approved for human use, Muller sees it as a potential good choice for patients who are already clean. He could vaccinate them against the opioid. Then, if they relapse, they wouldn't get high. Muller says it could keep a slip-up from becoming a full-on resurgence. And it could save lives. People who relapse are at higher risk of overdosing.
People who are abstinent, they lose their tolerance to opioids. And so if they go back out and use the same amount of drugs that they were using before, they die.
The VCU team has published their results in the journal Neuropsychopharmacology. A company in California is doing clinical trials for the vaccine. In the meantime, Matthew Banks's team, including his lab of rats, is ready to evaluate the next potential treatment for opioid abuse. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopaine.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening and enjoy your Friday.